Last week we talked about Proverbs, and we talked about 6, 17, 18, and 19, and we talked about pride and how that, some say that God has a list, and pride is number one, and what we're going to talk about tonight will be number two, and I tried to put a little more illustration in this to keep all of you guys awake, and not only to keep you awake, but that God may use something I said. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 17th verse, God's word says this: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. Those are 6 things, yes, 7 are an abomination to God. Now, I know there's going to be some here that don't know what I'm going to say for the next few minutes. So let's put your thinking cap on. There was once a critter I remember as a little kid, and he was a byproduct of a clock maker named Geppetto. Is it ringing a bell yet? And he made a little man. Are your kids familiar? No, I didn't know if they still go with that story or not. Because that's dating some of us, you know. But anyway, he made this little wooden man. And this little man, depending on how you hear the story, a star came in the window or something. I don't know if that's really accurate. None of it's accurate. It's just a fable. Came in, and that little guy came to life. And he was a unique individual. Every time he told a lie, his nose grew. That's the way the story went. I think my wife's shaking her head, but I think that's the way it went. And the more lies he told, the bigger his nose grew. And depending on which one you read, if he told the truth, his nose shrunk. You haven't heard that. But
I think it did shrink in the end.
Yeah. Anyway. But you know, when it comes down to lying, our noses don't get big. But there's still consequences to lying. Some people lie and they turn red. My mom used to ask us who was in the cookie jar, and we could never figure it out because I had a sister and 3 big brothers, and she'd line us up and she knew who always how it was. And my big brother would say, if you rat on me, but moms know that stuff. I'm not saying what we talk about tonight, but lying is part of our culture today. Some of you may not remember this. James Johnson, CEO of then the J.R. Reynolds Tobacco Company, he said this: cigarette smoking is no more addictive than coffee, tea, or a Twinkie. Now, he knew that. He was stretching the truth about as far as you could stretch a lie. Most of us heard it's not a baby, it's a fetus. The nightly news, in my house, I don't believe anything that comes on the news. They can say anything they want about you. I've been told this, I don't know if it's a fact. If they use that magic word, alleged. I believe lying is one of the worst sins human beings commit. Now, I'll tell you where I get that. I have a concealed carry permit. I have seen plenty of pictures of people shot. In fact, the majority of the people that get shot don't die. A bullet to kill you has to hit a vital organ or hit your spinal column to really mess you up. With medicine today, they can fix that. But if someone was to say, you dirty low-life, wreck-a-fuss, whatever they want about you, And they may come back later and say, I'm sorry. But that won't take back what's said. And that, I include gossip in that. You know, we call lying, they lie a lot about what lying is. You know, when you say something about another person and you don't know it's a fact, well, first of all, you shouldn't be saying it unless you can address the problem or you're part of the problem. But you say something and there's no taking it back. If one of you was to say something about me, how can I defend myself? And, you know, as a rule, we try to make it a rule that men don't get along with people that aren't their wives, because all they'd have to say is, you know, Mr. Bill, in Emmanuel Baptist Church, he did this. And I hate to say this, and this is my opinion, that I think I have to prove I'm innocent. And how do you prove you're innocent? I don't think you can do it. If the news gets a hold of it, you're a low-down rack of press. Now, this, I'm setting a story up here because it's important. Mr. Trump, and regardless of your opinion of Mr. Trump, they said he got in with the Russians and he fixed that. Well, that special investigation was headed by Democrats. And when it came back that when the initial report was that there was no collusion, how many times on a TV or a radio did you say, boy, we got that wrong and we owe him an apology? Did anyone hear that? You can raise your hand if you heard that. You can hear anybody. You won't hear that stuff. And if someone says something detrimental to you, you'll never hear, boy, I guess it was wrong. They may say it to you face to face, but they'll never say it any more than that. Lying is so prevalent in our society. Now, I don't know if these facts are, you get on the internet and they'll say anything you want to look up, but I'm going believing it, the information I get has some truth to it. 75% of the people lie to friends. This is including, when I say people, this is Christians and non-Christians, just a flat-out people. 73% of parents lie to kids. They say, I'd never do that. But when you say you're going to do something tomorrow and you don't do that, you may not call it a lie, but your kids will. I mean, they won't call you a lie unless they're foolish, you know. As human beings, the only way that we communicate with one another is by our speech. I can't do that stuff that deaf people do. I depend on the word. And I have a philosophy. I believe what you say until you show me that I shouldn't believe what you say. When I was little, and I know your kids probably never heard this, I was brought up that you didn't lie and everything. I took everything someone said as gospel. Now, the people I worked with said, boy, is he naive. Have you ever heard that expression? And I learned I wasn't naive. I was just being lied to. And it's so prevalent in today's society that's the way it is. Everybody does it. Well, it's only a little white lie. Austin Malley said this, those who believe it's all right to tell a little white lie soon grow colorblind. Now, I'm not making him an expert on that thing. He's an engineer. And another thing about lying, it doesn't have legs. You almost have to have another lie to back it up. Here's another illustration. Now, bear with me. I'm going to get into the Word of God pretty heavy. I want things that you can relate to, and I spent a lot of time trying to do this. This is a story, a true story, by the way, of a guy named Bob Harris. Younger people may not know him, but I'm familiar with the name. He was a weatherman for a New York station, weather station, and he was nationally syndicated independent network news. He had to weather a public storm of his own making in 1979. Though he studied math, physics, and geology at three colleges, he left school without a diploma, but with a strong desire to be a weatherman, a media weatherman. He phoned TV stations, introduced himself as a PhD in geophysics from Columbia University. The phony degree got him in the door. After a two-month tryout, he was hired as an off-camera forecaster. The next decade, his career flourished. He became widely known as Dr. Bob, the weatherman. He was hired by New York Times as a consulting meteorologist. He was now 40 years of age and living his childhood dream. He found himself in public disgrace and national humiliation when an anonymous letter prompted his management to investigate his academic credentials. Both the station and New York Times fired him. His story got attention across the land. He was on the Today Show, Tomorrow Show, and many others. He thought he'd lose his home and never work in the media again. Finally, a TV station gave him a job, and he admits he made a dreadful mistake on his part, and doubtless played a role in his divorce. He took a shortcut that turned out to be a long way around. But one day, you know what's going to happen. The bill came due. And he said, "I'm sorry, this thing I ever did." Lies have a way of coming home. Reverend Fleming used to say this all the time, and I'm sure he didn't pen it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that particular sin is really true, not that the others aren't. Lying's contrary to the character of God. God desires his people to be honest and forthright. In Psalm 51:6, the Bible says this, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom." In Luke 6:45, the Word of God says this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Now I'm going to get into a little bit of what the definition of lying is by Wikipedia. And it says, "A lie is an assertion that is believed to be false, typically used with the purpose of deceiving someone. A practice of communicating lies is called lying. And a person who communicates a lie may be termed a..." Okay, I'm just seeing you're a truth. Listen. I'm guilty of that. I'm just going to be straight out and honest. I mentioned it. My wife will ask me, "How does this dress look?" Or, "How does my hair look?" Or, "Does this look good on me?" And I stretch the truth sometimes. And I told you before, if my wife dresses in something that I don't think is appropriate, I'm going to tell her. I'm flat out. Because... not because she's my wife and she bears my name, then that reflects on me. I do dress like a buff. But I mean, if she'll tell me, "You ought to change clothes," you know what I do? I'll change clothes, you know. Common reasons that people lie: they try to save face, shift the blame, avoid confrontation, get in one's way. Listen, we lie for all kinds of reasons. I don't have enough paper. I got into this and I felt like I was Reverend Knopf. And you know how he always says, "I have 58 pages to share." There's so much stuff on it. And the thing of it is, most of it is really interesting stuff, but it's not the stuff that we know from the Bible. There are a lot of illustrations where people lie. We talked a little bit about last week where the devil lied to Eve. That's where it all started. You eat of that fruit. And I said last week, why would she eat of that fruit? She wasn't hungry. I mean, she had a whole garden there. Can you imagine? I don't even know. A pear, between pears and everything that grows on a tree. Maybe none of you have been to Florida. You drive Florida like grapefruit. I've seen grapefruit that big. Has anyone ever seen those? But you know, when you go to the store, they're only this big and their sours can be. I don't know what they do. And the same with oranges. Oranges don't necessarily are little like that. They grow big. I don't know what they must sell them to the caste system. I don't know. But it all started with Adam and Eve, and it didn't stop there, love. If you read the book of Genesis, it didn't go very far till, remember what happened with Cain and Abel? And God addressed it to Cain, and what he said, am I my brother's keeper? How in the world am I going to know? And as it goes down the line, remember when they took Joseph's coat and they sold him and they dipped it into goat's blood and took it to the dad, and they knew what happened. But all through the Bible, there's lie after lie after lie after lie. And you figure, well, what's happened that lying is so prevalent? You know, then everything was perfect. I always believed that God made man perfect. And that through the years, even intellectually, that man was really smart when God created it. Adam named all the animals. I mean, he had to have an intellect. And then to remember those names. And they're still called by those names today. And then as man's regressed, everything has gotten worse. And that's what happened with Peter. Some people lie to others. Some people lie to themselves. But ultimately, every lie we tell is to God. He knows it, you know, and I'm going to address that a little bit more. Numbers 32:23, everybody knows the last part of that. Be sure your sin will find you out. And they always come home. Everywhere there's a lie in the Bible, there's never a happy ending. Only on Hallmark movies do lies come out good. Some divorced woman that said, I'll love you till death, and the first handsome guy comes along, she jumps on the wagon. But there it works out, at least in theory. Another illustration here, and Linda may be a little bit interested in this. I thought it was cute, and that's why I put it in here. One beautiful day in summer, four boys decided not to go to school, and they thought, we'll go for a ride. You've heard this? Yeah. We're going to find out. Well, needless to say, it was a pretty day, and who wants to be in school? And they rode around, and next thing you know, time just got out of hand. So they got together and said, I'll tell the teacher we had a flat tire. So they went, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm sorry, we're late. In fact, they weren't late. They were really, really late. She said, well, you know we had a final quiz today. So what are we going to do? We had a flat tire. And she acted like she forgave them. So she said, but you'll have to take it, even though it's during lunchtime. And she said, I want you to sit over there. I want you to sit over there. I want you to sit over there. And I want you to sit over here. Now, this is a one-question quiz. Does anyone know what the quiz was? Which tire went flat? A good idea, backed by a lie, isn't a good idea. And there again, number 32:23 says to those young men, and I don't know if that's true or not, be sure your sins will find you out. In Psalm 63:11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. In Psalm 19:9, it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall perish. Now, Christians know that honesty is the best policy, and sooner or later, lies will cost us. But to be honest about it, if we admit that telling the truth isn't always easy, and from time to time, we're tempted to stretch the truth, in parentheses, lie. Satan's so crafty that and we're so sinful that we find ourselves being dishonest about dishonesty. Whether it's a little white lie or stretching the truth, exaggeration, cheating on your taxes, all these things are justified by dishonest people. But as Christians, we're not supposed to do that. God is clear. He says he dislikes lying and liars. Lying lips are an abomination, Proverbs 12:22 says, but they that deal truly are his delight. So we see it's pretty clear that God clearly is clear on this subject. Those who tell the truth are blessed, and those who don't aren't. Lying really is nothing more than deception and speech. Lying is the most common sin that Christians do. And most of us don't take lying seriously. Sadly, for most Christians, God is looked upon as an indulgent old man who hates sin, but winks at their so-called mistakes. After all, he understands. I've heard people say, well, he knows I'm a sinner. But does that justify our actions? No. If you work that with lying, how about shooting people or any other thing? God has a standard, and the purpose of that standard is for us to try to meet it. And we don't have to meet it perfectly because Christ did it for us. But Christians get caught up in that. And we lie, as I said, for different reasons. As I said earlier, the devil is the inventor of a lie. He uttered the first lie, and Eve went along with it, and it's just distorted from there. You can't run from a lie, but you can hide from the truth. A lie always catches you, and so does the truth. Lying's a terrible vice. It testifies that one that despises God, that fears men, does it. And that's not a Christian that said that. I've heard pastors exaggerate things that just weren't so. Particularly about attendance, results, and is that right because they do it? No, they just shows you that they have the same carnal weakness that we do. But that isn't God's will. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anyone here that hasn't told a lie? I looked at my life and, man, I fear. God, it is. I exaggerate sometimes a little bit. Sometimes I exaggerate a lot. I'll give you an illustration. Who doesn't like kids? Would you put your hand up, please? And if a little kid comes and shows you, see my new dress? And truthfully, that new dress isn't the prettiest thing you ever seen. But what do you normally say? It's pretty. Yeah, sure. Darling, you're beautiful. And I call it stretching the truth. But it's a lie. I mean, it is a lie. There's no other way of getting around it. And that's just a simple illustration. But we do it all the time. And I find myself, when I examine my life, I have so much. Not big things. I'm too smart to know that. I think it was Adolf Hitler that said, If you tell a big lie and you tell it often enough, people will believe it. And he built the German Reich on that. The invaded countries, lied about it, got the people behind them. I mean, so lying does work for the short time, but short term. So what happens if you get yourself involved in lying? Or you can say, well, Bill, that's me. I mean, I'm not always as truthful as I can be. What can we do about it? We just go through life being, well, I'm just a liar and I might as well admit, Lord knows it. I've come up with a plan that I think that'll help me, and maybe you'll gain something from it too. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful, forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing I do is say, Lord, I'm a liar. I don't like that term. I don't mind using it there, but it does. I don't particularly think, but I am a liar. And Lord, forgive me and cleanse me from that. He said he would, so I take him up on that. And then Psalm 119 says this, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You are what you see. I remember teachers used to tell me, what goes in, I'm paraphrasing this, Linda, so don't get excited. What goes in is what comes out. And that may not be the exact quote on that. But the sad part of it is, it's true. If you're not careful what you watch, you're not careful what you listen to, you can be drawn into that trap. So maybe you ought to police yourself. There's certain things I don't watch. Now, the only thing we got on our television that we watch consistently is the stupid Hallmark movies. And after 5 minutes, you know the story and you know who the good guy and the bad guy and how it's going to go. I just don't know the fill-ins parts, you know. But there's no cussing, and I can live with that. But I'm not paying any. I do pay for a television. I pay for a lot of stations, and I go watch 3 or 4. But older people, Kim, you don't know this. Older people really have a problem with that. Because you got 100 stations and you only watch 4 of this rascal. And, you know, I talk, why can't I just get the 5 channel? I like to watch the NBA. They don't have cheerleaders, per se. I mean, you don't see them like you do on a football game. You know, I like to watch basketball, especially professional basketball. And I like to watch clean stuff when I can find it. So why don't I just get that? But you won't find this. You won't find any entertainment system that I know of where you can get that. You have to take the whole package. But the only thing is, you may get the whole package, but you don't have to watch the whole package. And if it's a problem with you, like it is with me, I'd suggest you don't watch it. Another thing is, Philippians 4:8 is a pretty familiar verse. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Good stuff in, good stuff out. Now, the pastor mentioned something similar to this, but not to this particular subject. It's good to have a Christian friend that you confide to and go to, that holds you accountable. Now, I'm careful to who I talk to. Like, if you tell me something, and I'm not advocating being anyone's friend, I understand it, but I'm the type of person, if you tell me something, I don't repeat it. What you tell me stays with me. And that's good, because a friend of mine, they can say stuff and they know that I'm not going to go blab, but the only one I talk to is I'll pray for them. And if you don't have a friend like that to hold you accountable, maybe you ought to get one. There's people here at this church. There isn't a Christian alive that that wouldn't be there for a Christian brother. And I know that sounds kind of stupid, but sometimes you need accountability. You know, when you're little, you were accountable to your parents. They told you to do something. My dad used to say, remember who you are. I was a house, and that means you better not goof up, buddy. Or you, my dad, he lay a whomper on you. You could still feel the heat 77 years almost later. I mean, that's the way it was. But we need someone like that, someone that we can share stuff with. Confess it to the Lord first. Work with Him. Be careful what you put in your body, because that's what's going to come out. And then if you have a problem, you need a friend to be accountable to. Did we have any questions, solutions, or you have a better system, raise your hand and I'll be glad to listen. If we don't, appreciate you being here. Father, we thank you again for your love. We thank you for the opportunity to expound on the Word of God. And Lord, truthfully, you know this is a problem, even in professing Christians. Help us, Lord, to be straight with what we say, to mean what we say, and when we tell someone we're going to do it, do it. Because, Lord, when we become a child of God, we bear your name, and everything that we do amiss brings disfavor on you. And, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And, Lord, I'm sure everyone here can share that. I'd ask that you'd watch over us, protect us, and bring us back again Sunday morning. And, Lord, we're looking for your Holy Spirit to work in a supernatural way to touch hearts and lives through Reverend Bloom. And for everything you do, I thank you. In Christ's name, amen.